This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 336, recorded on December 7th. By the way, happy birthday, Home Gadget Geeks. I think our 7th anniversary, 2017. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that primarily need your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Cawson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful, actually super cold mic. Welcome back, by the way, but was it freezing today or what?
Like, I went outside to adjust an outdoor security camera, and I couldn't last more than 10 minutes. My hands, I was trying to manipulate. I was trying to actually strip and redo an Ethernet cable, and I finally gave up. I was like, my hands are frozen. It was like 13 degrees.
We've had such a mild fall that I just think we're wusses.
It smacked us in the face. We were not ready for it. That's
holy
for sure.
Cow! It was freezing this morning, but it'll warm up. Global warming will do well for us. So we post a show with world class show notes each week, and this week's show notes are going to be really good because Aaron's here, and whenever Aaron's here, she does really good show notes. So you want to head out there and grab those as well. Don't forget to join us on our mobile app as well. You can we've made that available to you over at homegadgetgeeks.com. Both iPhone and Android available to you. Just big fat buttons you can push and whatever on device you're on. The best way to really listen to the show live, you can get it there, homegadgetgeeks.com. We thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that app. We do want to thank Larry and Kat from Ghost Browser last week. Don't forget, we're doing the December Ghost Browser Challenge. So if you're hanging out with me, trying to use Ghost Browser for the entire month, which is what I'm trying to do, head out to last week's show, 335 HGG335 at theaverageguy.tv. They did a nice job. We want to thank them for coming on. By the way, the post show for that, a bunch of talk. I know some of you don't like our Bitcoin conversation or our blockchain conversation. And then I keep getting emails that like, talk more about it, right? So Larry and I talked a bunch about using Bitcoin, or not Bitcoin, but the blockchain, some of the blockchain offerings last week for Ghost Browser. So only available in the post show and only available to our Patreon subscribers. So head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. I think that'll get you there, or click on the Patreon link at the site. $1 gets you in, $1 a month, and you get pre and post show that way if you want to get involved. Speaking of that, Aaron's back with us today. Aaron Lawrence, the Canadian gadget blogger extraordinaire. Aaron, welcome back. And you did a little preview of something we might cover later, only going to be in the Patreon. But Aaron, welcome.
Hello. Thanks, you guys. I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, good to have you. And we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about, but kind of like, what's your favorite gadget right now? What are you enjoying the most personally? Not what you're working for, but what are you enjoying the most?
In all honesty, it has to be the Samsung Frame TV. I had a chance to have one installed professionally in my house for about a month, and I think I cried when they came to take it away. It's an amazing product. It's one I would like to add into my own home.
Nice.
We can get into some of the details, but
it's on the list, right? So hold tight for one second. Hold tight for one second. We'll get that talked about. Well, I have been following your YouTube channel, and I get the automatic alerts. So every time you post something, you know, a little toast notification pops out. Let me encourage others to do that as well. If I want to track you down on Facebook, I assume there's a site where I can get all that stuff. Where do I go to find your stuff? Because we should definitely be following you.
Yes, definitely. If you hit up, what is it? Tech Gadgets Canada. If you go on Facebook and search, it's weird to search on Facebook sometimes, but Tech Gadgets Canada, all one word, that should come up, or facebook.com/Tech Gadgets Canada. And the YouTube channel is youtube.com/AaronLawrenceTV, all one word.
Awesome. Before we get started, a quick little story on our t-shirts. By the way, if you go to theaverageguy.tv/t-shirt, those are available now. Uyghur he bought one and he tried to put it on. Mike, what happened to the shirt?
Well, I don't know what, it might've been user error, and it's probably my load of laundry that did it. But I ordered a large, which usually are pretty loose on me. Like, this is large right now. There's a lot of room. And I went to go put it on tonight before the show. I told Jim, hey, I got my shirt. Let me go put it on. And it was like putting on my son Emmett's shirt. I felt like a muscle man. I'm like, hey, did I just bulk up a little bit? I know I haven't been working out, but it looks like I had. My wife laughed. So yeah, be careful putting those in the dryer. Maybe I think I got a bad batch.
Yeah, and if you do get that, if you did buy a shirt and it shrinks, send it back. It's okay to do that. Now,
but
Hannah, what happened?
There's a second option, but besides sending it back, give it to your wife. Because Hannah, I got downstairs after I put that on, I put this back on, and Hannah texts me. She goes, "Hey, go ahead and just order yourself an extra large because I'm going to keep this one." And she sent me a picture. It fits her perfectly. So nice. Now Hannah, and she's wearing it right now. She just walked by. Actually,
that's so great.
No one saw it, but she's wearing the Home Gadget Geeks.
That's so awesome. Available for you, theaverageguy.tv/shirt, I think.
I just grabbed another one. And a lot of colors too, a lot of cool colors. You got the gray, you got the black, red, whatever you want, green. You're repping the green tonight, right?
Show that. I've got the hair. Well, I can't even tell you're wearing it anyway, but there we go.
Superman.
There's the Home Gadget Geek shirt on there for you right there. So you want to get that. Aaron, I feel like I owe you one. So, but we can't get them in Canada. So I think what I'm going to do is order one here, ship it to you to get it to you that way, because I think that's the only way we're going to get them in Canada right now. They make them through Amazon. You know, we're purchasing them through Amazon, right? And so we'll have to figure out how to get one to you. So you can,
in the US they cost like $15, and in Canada they'd cost like $90.
What is okay? let's air this thing out, because I have a lot of Canadian listeners, and they're always complaining to me about how expensive. Why is tech gadgets so expensive in Canada? Why is that? Do you know?
I don't know the actual reason, and I honestly doubt there's much logic behind it. I think a lot of it has to do with the dollar, the disparity between the Canadian and the US dollar, because already you're losing somewhere between, you know, like 28 and 31%, depending on the day or the week or the month. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
So cryptocurrency aside from would that, solve the issue.
it might.
You buy your shirt in a non-fiat currency, you know, hey, that might solve all of our issues right there. Sorry.
You guys will have to teach me how to mine.
Crypto shirts. I see a whole new space coming there. Crypto shirts.
I mine because of Jim. You know, like
what would Jim mine?
We won't talk about it. Yeah. That's the last you'll hear me
WWJM,
talk about.
WWJM, right?
WWJM. I want a bracelet. I want the old school bracelet. The one that has a little latch on it that you tighten up on your wrist.
Yeah.
Everyone
Aaron, your prime minister's so good looking. I would think that would raise that would fix that, right?
He does have great hair.
He's a good.
He's a very handsome man. Yeah. The ladies love Justin Trudeau. Oh,
no,
they
need to look up a picture.
Yeah, no, you're doing. Yeah, you should look him up. They're doing well in Canada. We're not doing so great in the U.S. So we'll just move.
Killing me.
There could also be that, right? It's sort of when you're comparing things to each other. I mean, yeah. Barack Obama also a handsome man. He was a very handsome man. Yeah, so
he's like an all-star soccer player.
So Lopta in the chat room, he said it's $1 to $1.29 right now, U.S. to Canadian dollars. Yeah, I feel if you're a Canadian listener, I'm sorry, because we always talk about these gadgets and they're always 30 or 40 or 50% more in Canada. I apologize. I wish there was a great way for us to fix this. There isn't. So Mark and all those other Canadian listeners that we have out there, I officially apologize on behalf of the United States. I apologize.
We'll start an underground where they just pay us for shipping, Jim. You and I order it, and then we start a tunnel up to Canada.
I like it. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's talk some gadgets. Aaron led off with the Samsung Frame TV, and she said, little tears when it left. What'd you like? What'd you really like about it?
It's just such an amazing concept, and it's not a concept that's been done before in TV. We're all familiar with, you know, the TV that sits on the console or credenza or wherever you put your TV, and it's a giant black hulking hole in your room. And, you know, like it's great to watch and the quality's great and you've got 4K and HD depending on what you want. But the thing about the Frame TV that I found that was really cool was they've basically made it to integrate into your room. So it's a TV. It's a 4K TV, two sizes, 55-inch and 65-inch. I got to try the 65-inch. And I was saying earlier that I had Geek Squad from Best Buy come in, install it for me so that it was going to be perfectly set up. They took like 15 minutes to do it. And then I got a little walk through the TV. So amazing quality TV all on its own, but it's got a couple differences. So it's ultra thin. The actual TV itself, I think, is only about as wide as my thumb. It hangs on the wall with something called the no gap wall mount. So you know how when you have a painting or a canvas that hangs on your wall, it just hangs flat against the wall. This TV does exactly the same thing. So I've wall-mounted TVs before. I have one down in my media room. And, you know, it sticks out from the wall. In this case, it's perfectly flush. It looks like it's hanging on the wall. The third thing is it's got this feature called art mode. And what it does is when you're not watching TV, it defaults to what looks like a real painting. So I'm not talking about a screensaver where when you put the screensaver on the TV and it glows and you can see that it's a TV and that it's a screensaver. This has light sensors in it so that when it's hanging on your wall, if the room is dark, it dims to the point where it's not going to glare at you. So it can be midnight. I can walk into the room and it just looks like there's art on the wall. So you can choose all kinds of artwork for it, depending on what your preferences are, whether you like photography, whether you like drawing or art or paintings or old world, new world, whatever. I just loved it because I've never had a TV in my living room because I haven't liked that big, you know, in the formal form. Do we still do formal living rooms? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. In the space that we would call the living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never liked that because it's kind of this big black hole in your room.
Yeah.
But this, I can't tell you how many people we had over that it took them a good 5 minutes to be like, what is that a TV when it was in art mode?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it is. They're like, no, it's not. And so you turn it on, put on some great 4K video. And then of course their minds are blown.
I completely agree. So this is so funny you bring this up because my parents, my dad texted me. They actually just moved into they have a spot up here in Omaha that they stay at a lot. And so he's like, hey, I kind of want to look at this new TV. It's the Samsung Frame. And I had never seen it before. We ordered it. We got it set up in their place. And you are totally right. That art mode is insane. They had friends over who didn't even realize that was the TV. And not to the point where they're like, hey, why didn't you have a TV in your living room? But yeah, almost close. Like they get in, they're like, that looks really, really good. And the second thing that I really like about it, like it looks really good, is the new technology they have where it's one wire. It's a power cable and one wire from the back of the TV, and it runs down to a hub. So it works really well. If you have like a hole and a tunnel dug out behind where the TV is, and you don't need to run that wire outside, basically, you basically run this one wire out to a hub that has all your HDMI inputs, USB, everything that you would want. So you don't need to try and run a bunch of ugly cables up to this beautiful, gorgeous frame. You have one cable, and the cable itself, even if you need to to run it underneath the TV, it is like a fiber optic cable, I think. It's really, really skinny and see-through. It goes up against a wall really nice. So I was just beyond impressed with this TV. It changed the entire game of TVs, especially if you're looking for kind of a higher end living room TV. Man, everything you've been talking about is right on. The art mode, everything on it is top notch. And the one wire, I think, was it makes it usable for the everyday person, because it's like it makes it, you don't have to have all these ugly cables running up. That was the problem before. And now you can have a gorgeous frame on your wall and not worry about it.
You're exactly right. That one wire is called the invisible connection because it's not white or black. It's okay. Kind of clear. So you don't like it, whatever your wall color
you never
is.
Even blend. See it.
No. And it's so smart having that. The box is called the One Connect box. And it's so smart because you can have that in a different room, even depending on how long the cable is that you want to add. In a different room, in a cabinet, somewhere out of the way, and that's where all your components are. So again, all you see is that beautiful TV, that beautiful art, and it's not cluttered up by anything. And you're absolutely right. That was another feature I really thought was smart about it.
It makes so much sense why we use these HDMI like hubs now and everything like that. So we only have to run one wire. Why not have that built into the TV? Because none of our boxes are right next to our TV. And a lot of these people, like you said, hang these up above a fireplace or on a mantle where you're not going to want to run 10 wires. It makes a lot of sense. I think they nailed it on this product.
Aaron, it looks like it comes with different frames. So you could change the frame to kind of match your living room. Did you choose a custom frame or did one ship for you?
I had the opportunity to try a couple different ones. So it comes with a basic black frame, and the bezel around the TV is actually super small. It's I mean, pinky finger size, if anything. You have the option also of adding on these additional, I can't remember what they call them. They're like art frames, but they're a wood look metal frame that clips on with magnets. And you just sort of snap them on in four pieces to the TV. And there's like a light kind of a pine color. There's a dark wood color. And then there's sort of like an oakier color. So you can pick whatever matches with your decor, however you want to do it. I think there's a white version as well if you want to just keep it super minimalist.
Can you swap them after the fact, or do you have to choose that when you order it?
No, so it only comes with black. The black one is the default one that you get. And I think the extra frames are about, I guess, depending on whether we're Canada or US, about $200 or $300 per frame. So, I mean, not inexpensive, but if I were going to get it for my house, I would probably pick a white one or a light wood one. I had a chance to try it with the light wood frame on it, and I found that helped it blend in even more because it's not looking like a metal edge TV. It looks like it's wrapped in a proper wood frame that you'd find on a piece of art. So it really helps it just blend away into the room.
Mark is asking in the chat room, and you think there's any issues with burn-in in the art mode? Would there be any issues with burn-in? I think some people would be with that same art being up all the time. Did they address that?
That's a great question. I had it in the house for about a month, and I think I tried to change the art sort of about every week. Now that's only 1 week at a time for 4 weeks with, you know, certain pieces of art. So I didn't notice that. But I've done some reading about, I think the Google Pixel had this, or the Pixel 2 rather, had this problem with some burn-in or ghosting. And what they were saying was, I think they called it, was it screen retention? That it just, the image will live within the pixels or the crystals for a certain period of time afterwards, almost like a ghosting. And then it eventually will dissipate and go away. I think the same thing would probably hold true with this. I didn't test it for long enough to sort of really get a sense of it. I sure hope not, because that would really ruin a great thing.
And I had been scared too. So when I set theirs up, I actually set my parents up to rotate the image every, I think, half hour, which sometimes you might not want that if you have an image that you really like, but you can still set that like a screensaver to rotate out through your favorite artwork every once in a while if you're worried about it.
And I think there's some things they do where they shift that image now where we can't see it, but it's constantly being shifted so that those pixels don't burn in. I don't know all the technology behind that. Aaron, what's this thing? What's this thing? I think we're all bracing. What's this thing retail for typically?
It is. Hang on. I wrote down my Canada and America prices for you today. So Canadian listeners first, it's about $2,700 for the 55 inch. $3,700 for the 65 inch. And in the US, it's about $2,000 for the 55 inch and $2,700 for the 65 inch.
There's that Canadian tax.
Right. Again.
But a 4K TV, high refresh rate. I mean, all the bells and whistles. And I just to pay for that one wire alone, I think is a great feature. So when I look at their picture, like I was skeptical too, because when we went to order it, I was like, that's kind of a lot for a 4K TV, only a 55 inch at that. But man, when you look at it and when you see it, and like you said, I think the biggest part too is the adaptive lighting on the artwork makes it look like it's not a screen. You think that that's always just the way the sun would reflect off that piece of artwork. So I think a little bit worth it for people who are looking for a higher end one in a area of their home that is often seen by others. You definitely, this isn't your bedroom TV, I don't think, but this is a good living room TV.
Yeah. So how long have you been without it and how sad are you?
I've been without it for a couple of weeks now and I'm still sad. My husband and I are actually talking about getting one for the living room for Christmas as our Christmas gift. Nice. So
you're going to go the big one? You're going to go the big or?
I would probably go 55 inch only because the space in that room we would like to put it in, again, for it to sort of blend in, would only fit the 55. It helps that it's a little bit cheaper. So that's probably what I'd do.
Yeah, not in the world of TVs right now in that space. Mike, I think you just said that. Not terribly unreasonable. I mean, for a lot of us, for me, that's a lot of money. I don't know at this point in time if I'm going to spend $3,000 on a TV, you know.
It's the new curved glass, right? You paid extra for curved glass. You pay extra for this frame that just looks fantastic, has the artwork feature.
Other Jim says, Other Jim says in the chat room, this will sell well in corporate offices. You know, that's probably a perfect corporate, right? They're going to spend that kind of money, not even blink.
Put it in your boardroom and it's a artwork 99% of the time. The one time someone needs to throw something up on there.
Computer would look great. It'd be
perfect for that, actually. Corporate applications never occurred to me, but you're bang on.
I never thought of that either. That's perfect.
Yeah. That's very cool. I think that's, I would prefer, you know, we're running in the kitchen PC, you know, the Keith Lunsford was the first to notice this, but Mike, those kangaroo PCs that we have, if you run them hot, like if you run Boink on them all the time, 24/7, those batteries swell up. That's, there's a lithium ion battery and it swells up and it pops the case, right? And so both Keith and I have returned those. That was my kitchen PC. So Aaron, I have a 24-inch touchscreen, 10-point touchscreen in the kitchen. We had a PC in there for the Hey Cortana and that kind of stuff where you could look things up or have conversations, watch movies out of the kitchen. Well, that kangaroo PC, it didn't explode, but it came apart. I sent it in. They're going to send me a new one. But I put the Chromecast on there. And man, Chromecast art is really good, right? I'm assuming on this TV, is it powered by Android? Is it an Android TV on the back end? Or is it Samsung software?
It's Samsung has a platform called WebOS. So it uses that. It's got Netflix. It's got YouTube. It's got, you know, all the usual suspects that you'd want for TV. And it's pretty easy to use. It's very, I would say, very intuitive and user-friendly.
That was my one question for you, Aaron. Since you've looked at multiple TVs like this, it seemed like the menu system, the operating system was built custom for this TV. It all fit it all looked the same. It looked very artsy, high-end. Is that custom to this TV or is that normal for them?
I'm trying to think back to the last Samsung TV I reviewed and I can't remember. I don't remember thinking it was out of place.
That remote, I think, is custom for that TV. And the remote, I think, is one of the best remotes I've seen on a TV as far as a smart remote goes. So I imagine that menu was custom and it looks great. Everything just fits together.
Yeah, and it's very subtle. It comes up across the bottom of the screen rather than sort of taking up the whole screen. And that's so that you don't have to lose your 4K video picture. You don't have to destroy art mode. You know, you still get to see what you want to see, but the controls and the menu is all subtly across the bottom. It's really nice.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, well, it's been, you know, this idea of art on TVs or art on our computers. Microsoft is making a heyday out of this with Windows 10. And there are some gorgeous images that show up on your lock screen or whatever if you just leave the default on. Beautiful images. Like I said, the Chromecast will do it. I think Mark said Fire TV's got some fantastic ones too. So
yeah,
no lack. I would have loved to see this thing paired with like a NVIDIA Shield that is running Android TV where you could take advantage of 4K on that. And there'd be some really great, man, I can't imagine this. Oof. All right, let's move on. Starting to seriously think about this one.
Yeah.
It's like, yikes. This would
be, you should.
Maybe in the next house. Maybe. Cool. It's hard when
I need one.
I've got a pretty nice 40-inch Samsung sitting right behind us that it's you know, it's 4 or 5 years old, but it's still really good. Like, you know, and so you're like, oh.
Well, it's hard. You can get a 4K TV for like $400 now. It's like, okay, what's going to make me spend that extra $1,600? Right. It's aesthetics, right? And it's some of the extra stuff. But yeah, it's hard. I agree, Jim.
Yeah. Well, okay. Speaking of changing things out, my daughter is coming home from college here in a couple weeks. In fact, she's pinging me on Facebook Messenger right now saying, Dad, I need you to come pick me up on Wednesday because my last final is at 7:30. And I've told her a surprise is coming. And, you know, many of you watched me pick up the iPhone 6, right? And we're going to make the jump over Christmas. She's probably not listening. We're going to make the jump over Christmas to what I thought was going to be the 8. But Aaron, you got a chance to get the newest. The new 10 on. Are we saying X or are we saying 10? What are we officially?
Apple says 10. I thought it was X, but I checked and it's 10.
It is 10. Okay.
Roman numeral.
I agree. 10. It's 10.
It's 10. Okay. So you got your hands on the 10. Can you talk me out of the 8 and to go to the 10? Because all I've heard is problems with face recognition and some of those kinds of things. So, but you had it in your hands.
Yeah. I have the 8. That's the phone that I'm running as my day-to-day phone right now. I got a chance to spend about 4 days with the 10 and then had to return my loaner. So caveat, I only had a very short time to play around with it. I wasn't expecting a lot. I'm going to be honest. I thought it's, you know, it's nice. It's fancy. It's thinner, you know, no home button. Okay, great. So what? Like, it's still going to run the same OS. It's still going to do a lot of the same things. I got the phone in my hands and I'm not lying. Within about 5 minutes, I was in. I loved it. It was so intuitive, the way things moved, the new gestures that are involved because there's no home button. It was just so easy to adapt to. I like the fact that there is no home button. I like the size and feel of it. I did, I do a TV segment up here in Canada, and I wanted to sort of show people what the differences are between the 8, a 6 Plus, for example, and the 10. So I laid them all side by side. The 6 Plus is a bigger phone. The 8 is a small phone. When you lay them side by side with the 10 is like the size of the 6. Let me get this straight. The 10 is the size of the 6 Plus's screen, but without all the extra stuff around it, without the bezel, without the case, without the edging and stuff.
Yeah, because the button's gone.
Yes. So you get a bigger phone in a smaller package, if that makes sense. So yeah. I really like that because I like having a bigger phone. I love the way the 8 and iOS 11 is working for me right now, but the 8 is too small a phone for me. Just the way I like to operate, the amount of work I do on my phone, I need a bigger phone. So I feel like the 10 would be just perfect for me. It's a great size. It's got all new glass. I think Apple says it's got like the hardest glass in a phone now. So durable.
From a usage standpoint, or from, you know, the some of the new features, especially getting that thing unlocked, did you experience some of those issues of getting it unlocked that I've been hearing about?
So I did put my facial recognition in. You get it all set up and it screens your face and it knows how to read you. I did not have any problems. And again, spent 4 days with it. I didn't have any problems getting it unlocked. It was instant. And it's got a couple of neat features. I've tried the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus, which also has facial recognition. And I found with that phone, you almost had to sort of hold it up and look at it deliberately before it would unlock. With the 10, there's a neat thing that it has where as you're sort of lifting it from the desk and you're flicking your thumb up with it and bringing it up in front of your face all at the same time, by the time it's up in front of your face and at eye level, it's already open and unlocked. So I found it really fast. I didn't have any problems with it. I can't speak to what others are doing. But, you know, the 4 days I spent with it, it unlocked super fast.
For you, but what about the beard? Do you think it would it recognize the beard? I'm just joking.
It's supposed to. And I tested this on, I posted a short review, I guess, on my YouTube channel. So I put on sunglasses. I put on glasses. I put on a hat. You know, I sort of tried to fool it.
Yeah.
Trick it. And it worked every time.
Even with the sunglasses.
Apple says that it's so good that it's, you know, it's literally checking the, I guess, the bone structure and the features of your face and the contours. And that's what it's recognizing off of. So yeah, it worked with sunglasses. It worked with just sort of regular glasses, worked with a hat. It was kind of impressive. I wasn't expecting it to be that good.
And so the size thing, I think you nailed it. So actually I texted my wife and said, hey, can you bring down your phone for like 5 minutes? I just need it for 5 minutes. So these are the two phones. So the 10 and this is the 7. You can see same exact size screen when I hold them up like that. But if I lay one over the other, I mean, it's just crazy. There is a huge gap up there. So same size screen, but a lot bigger phone. This is the 7 Plus my phone, and this is her phone. And that size, it just makes such a difference in your hand. I think especially for a woman's hand, a little bit smaller. Hannah was kind of worried that, hey, I didn't want the Plus because it's a little bit big in my hand. But if you give me the same size screen in the 10, huge difference, makes a lot of difference. And so we've only had this for 24 hours. I got it for her yesterday. But she said the facial recognition actually pretty nice. The only downside is maybe when you're in a car and you are trying to just unlock and then hit play or something like that, where you don't want to look down at the phone. With the whole attention thing, you actually need to look down at the iPhone 10 for it to unlock. So even if it scans your face and you kind of look at it, so she said it's a little bit wonky in situations where you can't look at your phone, but you're trying to unlock it. Whereas on the old ones, you would rest your thumbprint on the home button and be in. So a few wonky items, but other than that, size-wise, perfect. How did you get along with the gestures? I know you said you kind of got on board with it really quick, but there's a lot of new gestures with the iPhone 10.
The ones that I tried primarily are sort of that unlocking motion instead of sort of double clicking the home button to get right. your tabs. It's a different gesture. Like I say, I found it really intuitive, but I'm sort of an Apple person. That's right. what I've had for the longest period of time. I sort of play in both worlds now, but I'm used to the Apple way and maybe that's helpful. Would somebody else who's coming in from the Android world look at that and go, everything is wrong. How do you make it work? I found it really easy to adapt to. And for the most part, it was smart the way the gestures worked. Once you get used to it and figure it out and know what's different and what does what, same with any new gadget or device, right?
Yeah, that was Hannah's reaction too. She was like, where's my home button? She keeps like tapping the middle. Where's that? And now after just 24 hours, she's trying to swipe my screen up. And I'm like, yeah, mine doesn't do that. Thanks for reminding me.
I'm so button oriented on the iPhone, you know, of doing that. You know, I've got all these, you know, these six fingers are all there and I can do it from any angle. All right. So Mike, I'm going to ask you this first and then Aaron, you're on deck. So I'm going from a six. I purposely got the smaller screen because I wanted trackability with my thumb. I wanted to be able to reach the entire screen mm-hmm. right when I'm holding it. When you get into the plus modes, those get a little big, but I am having a little bit of plus envy
right.
at this point. You know, I'm looking at this, I'm like, maybe it is time to go to a big screen. Like I'm doing more on a plane with them. I'm doing more where I pair them with a keyboard. I'm doing more of those kinds of things where a bigger screen would be helpful. So I'm definitely in a spot. It's going to be an 8. It's an 8 plus. Or do I go all the way? You know, the 10's so expensive, right? So, let me start with you. That's a good-looking beard, by the way, in that. When you held that up, you could see.
Oh, you could see your beard. Yeah, there you go. There's my son, too. Let me try and get that to go off so you can actually see. I mean, look at the bezel. So, I'm just like, when you get the 8 plus, you're going to get the same size phone that I have. And if you look at that extra lip up there and on the side, I'm actually holding a lot of space on the side. You're going to get that big a phone with no size of screen increase. So if you want the 10, you get the same size screen for smaller. Now, whether that's worth for you, Verizon, you know, the difference between a lot of people do the 24-month payment option, the difference between an iPhone 10 and an iPhone 8, especially if you do the 8 Plus, is going to be about $10 a month. So
Sprint subsidizes it some. So whatever
that is, whatever that screen size for you is worth. So if you want that big screen size, are you willing to put up with the bigger sized phone or do you want the 10, which is same size screen, just a smaller footprint, still right. holds your hand very well. So I think you go with the 10, especially just because, I mean, you're a tech guy and you got to have, you know, the latest and greatest new stuff. All of the gestures and Face ID on this are just phenomenal. I'm already jealous, and it's been 24 hours looking at her phone, how quick it is for her. She picks it up, it raises, and you see the unlock. Obviously, for me, it's not doing it. It unlocks, and she's in. Like, it's so simple. And then you go to put in a password on a website, and it uses Face ID. And you don't even get prompted to enter a password because you're looking at the phone, and it knows it's you. It's what I want to see in all my products. I want my laptop to use its sensors to be like, hey, that's Mike. I don't need to put in a password every time because I'm sitting in front of the computer. I don't know, Jim.
Windows Hello has that, you know, that's on some of these new Microsoft devices. You have Windows Hello that'll do that. But Aaron, what do you think? Going from a 6, you've got the 8, you have the smaller 8. Do I go 8 plus or do I go 10? And then is there, in your opinion, is it worth it to spend the extra on the 10?
My previous phone was the 6 Plus. So I know what you're talking about with the size difference. And that was my comfort zone and my happy place. I went to the 8. I like the operating system. I like the new features and it plays really well with iOS 11. But I miss that bigger screen. I really do. For the way I work, for the things I do on my phone, video editing, watching video, social media, you know, a ton of emails. I want and need that bigger screen. So having had all three of those phones in my hand, the 8, the 6 Plus, and the 10, I want the 10. That's going to be my next phone. Yeah, it's expensive. It's an investment for sure. But I almost feel like, yeah, you could get, you know, the 8 or you.
Yeah.
And then are you always going to be wishing you had the 10?
Well, or do you go with it? I'm a guy. I mean, I've held on to this for 3 years. I bought the lease out. I paid because I wanted to get as much life out of this as I can to wait for the next jump. I think an 8 Plus could be a good jump at a good price point and then wait for the next iteration of the 10. Because I think they learned a bunch, right? Anytime you make a major form factor change, there's always issues. And so I think they've learned a ton. And I think whatever comes out after this is going to be better than this is. So Mike, let me throw that at you. Is that thinking like, okay, 8 Plus now, hold that for 2 years and look at the next version of the 10 that's going to come out a year and a half from now?
So I'm looking at the complaints, and this is actually, I was going to ask Erin if she noticed when she had the 10, the notch, right? You guys can't mm-hmm. see it, but there is a notch at the top. It divides the top of the screen in half because that's where all their sensors are, their facial recognition, everything like that. That's one of the biggest complaints about the phone is you have this notch when you're watching video in full screen. You have a notch on the left side. So anything in that notch is, you know, you can double tap and zoom out a little bit and change the aspect ratio. But will they bump that? Will they find a way to get rid of the notch? I don't think so, because how do you do that? If you want screen to screen, top to bottom, those sensors need to go somewhere. So I don't know if the biggest complaint about the iPhone 10 is going to be resolved. And then I look on top of that is, okay, what are the other issues? What are going to be resolved? Because when I had the same thing as you, Jim, every time there's a new iteration, whether it's the 7, you always waited for the S and you'd kind of have a little bit bumped up version. But on this 10, I really don't know what they're going to improve on. And if I know they're going to improve, obviously, but there's nothing that I would say, hold out. They held off on something on here that you want to wait till the next one. There's always that issue with the S. It's like, well, there's no big design change. Wait on this one. I'm not sure, Jim. I would usually tell you, yes, definitely. If you're going to get the 8, I'd say wait for the 8S, something like that. But on this one, I just don't know what exactly they're going to improve. The Face ID critics out there, I just don't know what they're basing their stuff on, because all the people I know who have 10s just rave about it and love it. And so I don't know. I can't give you a negative opinion about it to talk you out of the 10 versus the 8 besides price. There is a huge price point. So it comes down to price.
I kind of feel like that 8S is a sweet spot. Erin, do you want to respond to anything Mike said then?
Yeah, no, I did notice the notch. I didn't get a chance to watch a ton of video on it. And Mike, that's actually a really good point that might be a bit distracting. I mean, I'm looking at the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus right now, and not that you guys will be able to see this because I don't have the battery charged up, but the bezel across the top is super thin and narrow, but it's still got all their hardware in it. So might be right.
They just have an entire bezel.
It's not notched. It's a flat.
So maybe that's the solution. The top, right?
You just move it all up and move the screen.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, that would make sense,
right? Very narrow across the top, and then you can still have your rectangular screen.
Do the sensors there. There's some chat going on in the chat room about, of course, you know, we still have the headphone jack in the 6, and that's now gone. I have since moved on to Quiet Comfort 35s, both Quiet Comfort 35s for travel, nice, which are Bluetooth. So I'm kind of been preparing for this day a little bit. I've got my eyes on a set of Bluetooth workout earbuds, which a buddy of mine got, just some generic ones, you know, made in China, right? We call them China earbuds, in fact, because there's like the brand, you can't pronounce the brand or whatever. He had them for a couple months. He took them and put the earbud pieces on the ends. So, you know, Erin, we're big fans of the earbud brand. That's what I'm wearing now, because they, you can get ambient sound in when you're podcasting or if you're running or biking, right? You can hear what's going on around you. It doesn't completely, and I prefer those kind of earbuds. Well, the guy was a genius. He just bought some extra, you know, the plastic piece on these,
right?
Is you can just buy that, take it off. And then he put it on the China Bluetooth, and he goes, they're super comfortable now. And I was like, that's freaking genius. So genius. I may move that direction when we think about Bluetooth. So I'm not all that worried about losing the headphone jack. I know that's been a big deal for some people, but for me, it's not. I just kind of think, for me, I think the sweet spot is that 8 plus. I just, from a price perspective, from a, that's that all the best technology has gone into the 8. They've kind of ended that run on that die, and now 10 is the next. Okay, here we go. And like you said, Mike, already tonight we thought, oh, maybe if you change the top of the bezel, right? So I think there'll be some changes coming on 10. And I don't know if I'm willing to pay that much extra to be that much cutting edge when maybe in a year and a half a really good version of 10 comes out that then I jump onto, you know, that way.
Because what is the price difference? I think it's $275 from the 8 plus to a 10 64 gig. Because if you're going plus, you're already up at, I think, $700 and some.
$799. Let's say $800.
You're up to $1,000 flat for a 64 gig 10. It really does come down to really the size, the facial recognition. What do you want features wise? The only thing I do think is that going forward, I think the software behind the facial recognition is only going to get better. Yeah. So physically the phone may change, but if you have the 10 now, you're only going to benefit going forward. This was my job coming in, Jim, on your show originally a few years ago, was to be the Apple fanboy and to talk it up. And I'm not trying to tell everyone like 10 is better than the 8, but it's just something to consider. Like you have the hardware in the 10 that you don't have in the 8. So going forward on future software releases, Apple is known to quickly, hey, that old phone, nope, like that doesn't have the specs that we need to run Apple Pay. It definitely does, but we're just not going to support it. Right. So if people that upgrade on the 10 and the 8 same year, you guys bought the new phone in 2017, I guarantee they're going to start not supporting the 2017 model iPhone 8 as fast as they are the 10, because the 10 has the new hardware.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and we haven't even talked, Jim, by the way, about the Animojis, which is the thing you can do with the 10.
I sent a poop Animoji the first 10 minutes Hannah had the phone. That was the first thing she unlocked today. I said, can I send a poop Animoji to my dad? And I did. That was the first thing I did. How are you going to live, Jim, if you can't send the Animojis?
Can I say that's the least exciting thing that I can think about on the phone?
You can say it, but you'd be lying.
No, but you know what? I thought that too. And I was like, why do I need a talking emoji? Like, why? And honestly, I sent out a few to my friends because people that don't have the 10 can also see the Animojis, which is great because they're video files. So I sent out a few and people are like, oh, wow, that's so cool. How'd you do that? Well, that's so much fun. And then, of course, everybody at work was like, oh, I want to try being the poop. I want to try being the fox. I want to be a pink unicorn. And like, it was funny. It's a minor thing to a lot of people and probably justifiably so, but it's a really neat feature. And I think Mike hit the nail on the head with all that stuff, the camera, the facial recognition of what you can do with that is only going to get better.
A lot of people change phones out this time of year. This is when we start thinking about, I have changed the last, I think, 5 when I went back and thought about it, the last 5 phones I've bought either at Christmas or just after. And I don't know because they fall in these cycles, right? Typically these upgrade cycles. So good coverage to think about, especially since I'm a week away or 2 weeks away from thinking about what I'm doing. And I hadn't really thought about it very much to think, you know, I got a note from Sprint and they're like, hey, we're heavily subsidizing iPhones. If you want to jump in, you know, we'll cover $25 of that payment. And it's like, ooh, hard to, it brings it down to like $12.
And you're telling, really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard.
The iPhone 10 is 40 a month. So if you take 25 off that, I mean, you're looking at $15 and you could have an iPhone 10.
I know. All of a sudden you're like, okay.
Or maybe, probably a free iPhone 8 at that point. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much money a month do you spend in coffee, Jim? Or tea?
Oh, way
or
more.
Beer?
Yeah. Well, we definitely way more than that, Aaron.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So for the price of how many beers could iPhone 10?
No, right on. Well, I will struggle with it.
To get Jim into an iPhone 10, I've never seen this.
I'll struggle with it. I'm just I'm still kind of thinking it's too early for the 10, and then I'd want to be on the 8 for 18 to 24 months. Good solid platform. Just I need my phone to just work. And when I moved off the Galaxy S4 and moved on to an iPhone 6, and it did everything I needed perfectly. I couldn't believe I was struggling with Android. I was like, why? Now Android's caught up since then, and they have better phones. So there's some great, my kids are all on the Pixel phones, and they're doing the Google stuff. And so we're an Android family. My daughter and I are the holdouts on iPhone at this point. Even my wife is a Galaxy S4, a Note 4. And she has probably got that thing. We're going to have to replace that here pretty quick too, because I think that's 3 years old as well. So she's got a new, have you been trying out the new Samsung stuff as well then, Aaron? Have you been?
I have. I've tried. Well, I got a chance to try out the S8 Plus. I had the Note 8 for a couple weeks and really liked that because it comes with the stylus.
Yeah. Do you like it?
She liked that, I bet.
I did actually. I really did like it. And I found the stylus was really intuitive. It's got translation functions in there. This was back in the summer when I had it, so I'm trying to remember some of the other features. But I really enjoyed it. I really like Samsung phones. I've also had the Google Pixel 2 for a little bit and really like that phone. The camera on that is like so perfect. And it's a great phone too.
So when you test these phones, are you putting these on your personal number? It's like your switch. This is like your daily driver, or do you carry two?
It depends. With the Apple phones, I will usually just transfer everything over because it's easy.
Right.
With the Galaxy S8, I did a full transfer. I actually set out to, that was sort of my first big leap into Android for any length of time. So I said, I am taking everything off the iPhone. I'm putting it on the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus. I'm not going to look at an iPhone. I'm going to live in this world. And I did that for about 6 or 8 weeks or so, and forced myself to stay there. And then after much reflection, I returned to the iPhone.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, you really dove in. You didn't let yourself be biased by, okay, well, I have both and my friends are still on iPhone. I'm texting them iMessage. It's not. So it's a good way to do it.
And honestly, Mike, that was one of the primary reasons, because like I said, Samsung makes great phones and there's nothing wrong with Android as a phone operating system. It works great. There are some bugs and some things people don't like and, you know, complaints and stuff. It works fine. For me, it was being disconnected from my family, my friends, and my coworkers. No exaggeration, all of whom have iPhones. So when we would have family discussions about what time everybody's coming over on Sunday for dinner, or with my coworkers about, you know, who's going to cover for the person who's sick, I would get that initial message and then wouldn't get any follow-ups as they're having these conversations. So I was getting left out of a lot of stuff. And I just thought, I can't afford to be that disconnected from everybody in my life. So that was, honestly, that was one of the primary drivers for me going back.
I totally agree. Ecosystem's everything. We have, you know, it's always like that one friend, like, okay, who's causing the green bubbles to show up instead of the blue bubbles? Because there's one friend who doesn't have the iPhone, and it's right now my wife's mother. And so a lot of times we're like, hey, can you just read your husband's phone? Because that way we can have iMessage. It's a lot easier. And actually, we're going to give Hannah, since she just upgraded to the 10, where I'm setting up tonight her the old phone. I'm creating her an Apple ID because she's been Android for years. I said, I'm just going to make it easy for you and we're going to switch over. And the one last thing I'll say about the switch over, I don't know when they implemented this because honestly, we did not buy the 8. So I'm sure it's on the 8 too. But when you upgrade your iPhone, really kind of cool on the iPhone 10 and this new operating system, when you swipe the phone for the first time, it says, hey, do you have an old phone that you're switching from? Hold them close together and it will transfer everything. And that was awesome. Like you said, okay, I don't have
to. That was pretty magic.
It was magic. Like I don't have to plug in my Apple ID and my password anymore. It's like, we'll recognize it. And I mean, it saves you what? Maybe a few inputs on the keyboard of like passwords and stuff like that. But overall, it makes the experience so much faster. And it copies over the exact same settings you had before. It doesn't go through the, hey, do you want to send analytics to Apple? Do you want to do this? Because we're going to copy over the same settings as before. So I don't know when they implemented that because I have not upgraded my phone in a while. But when they did, very awesome on that part. And like you said, it's the whole switching ecosystems thing, right? Like, look how easy that was to upgrade an Apple phone and then to switch ecosystems. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder. And then your friends also tear you apart for not for causing the green bubbles.
See, now we get around that. We're Facebook Messenger family. So everybody, right, we've gone to a platform that's cross-platform. And you can do a ton of stuff in Messenger and in Facebook Messenger. And so that's kind of become, that's what we do. We have a family group. We have a couple. It's funny because we have like all family. And then we have one of my daughter, myself, and my wife just for her. And then we have Tim, Sam, Sarah, me, because they're the four of us talk on weekends because they're the two that are gone. And so we've figured out just to do that instead of using the proprietary products built into it or getting stuck in the ecosystem. We've chosen to go outside and just kind of come up with a standard platform. And that's actually worked really well. We tried Voxer for a while for that. And Voxer is cool because you can add voice. You can do voice in Messenger. It's just not as easy. And not enough people would use it or look at it consistently. And so we just always end up, in fact, now when I start a text message, I get, could you move this to Messenger? Like, you know, let's stay in that ecosystem. So
that's actually a really smart solution, and that didn't occur to me, but at the time. But yeah. Like
everybody's on Facebook. Just about.
I hate Facebook Messenger. I don't like it. I will look at it on the desktop if I have to. I have it completely disabled on both my phones, and avoid it like the plague. But you're right. That would be a good solution, but then I'd have to get all my iPhone friends and family to adopt it, and most of them don't like it either.
Right.
So we're still trying to.
You can do that in a family. That makes a lot of sense. Like, but try to get all your friend groups and your coworkers, everyone, to like switch over when you're the one person. And
right on. No,
I'm gonna text.
No, right on. Well, during the holiday season, both Amazon and Google have dropped their small digital assistants to $30 here in the United States. So you can go into Best Buy. Right now, I still think they're available there. They were Black Friday, but they held it over. I was just in there last week, and they're still available there. And so if you haven't gotten, if you've not gotten into that, you know, having a digital voice assistant, either that, you know, that the Amazon device or the Google device, they're available pretty cheap here in the United States. Aaron, you got a chance to get the Google Home, which is the Alexa version for Google. We've covered this a couple times, but I kind of want to get your take on the Home. One, did you get to keep it? And two, do you have an Amazon device, and how do they compare?
So I've had the Home for a little while. It's on loan from Google. I still have it right now. So, which is fortunate for me because Amazon just launched the Echo devices in Canada, like within the last couple of weeks. And I just got an Echo, the Echo and the Dot for testing as well. So it's perfect because I'm going to have the opportunity to test them both and see how they compare. Cause that's the question I've been getting, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, is which one's better? What are the differences? How do they work? How are they the same or different from each other? So I really like the Google Home. I was surprised when I got it. Cause I'm like, who needs a talking speaker? I have a Sonos. It plays music. I don't need to talk to it. I can just push the button on my phone and listen to the music. You know, I don't need the speaker to tell me what time it is or whatever. So I got the Google Home set up and thought, same thing. I'm going to launch myself into this. I'm going to try and do as much stuff as I can on the Google Home, and I'm just going to embrace it. And I found myself surprised by how easily it integrated itself into my life. Now, we can have a whole separate conversation about how, you know, they're listening to us. They're listening to everything we say. Separate conversation.
Yeah.
But it does a lot of really cool things. So if I'm in the kitchen, I'm making dinner, doing whatever, washing dishes, tidying up, I've got soapy hands, I've got chicken hands, whatever, and I want to have some music on. I'm not, you know, I got to wash my hands. I got to grab my phone. I got to unlock the phone. And if I don't have the facial recognition, I got to really unlock the phone. And then I got to load up the music, and then I got to hit play. And it's so funny because we're talking about like seconds, you know, it takes a few seconds to do this stuff. And we're like, oh my God, it takes so long. Mm-hmm. But with the Google Home, I can just say, and I have to be careful how loud I say this because it'll actually hear me and start doing this. But you just say, okay, Google. And all my phones are going to go off here now too. Yeah. Play me some jazz, and it just loads up a playlist and plays it for you. And, oh, you don't like that? Oh, can you skip this song? You can set timers. So if I've got something I've just popped in the oven or on the stove, set a timer for 10 minutes and then it goes off when you're done. Set an alarm to remind me about, you know, that it's time to leave for my appointment. It'll do that kind of stuff. So I just found that it really easily integrated itself into my life and made things that I would ordinarily go to my phone for, like, oh, I'm going to check what the weather forecast is for tomorrow. Well, I can just ask Google. So it makes the stuff that you go to your phone or your computer for a lot easier. There's no clicking, there's no unlocking, there's no searching. It's just all information at your fingertips.
Yeah. What do you prefer between the two, or do you have enough experience now to be able to say?
I don't. I only plugged the the Echo in last night, and I'm not even 100% sure it's connected to the network yet. I sort of plugged it in and I was like talking to it, and it's like Alexa, I guess is her name.
Yeah. Yep.
Was like, I don't understand you yet. So I've got to get it set up and configured. One of the things I did really like about it when I was getting things connected though, was that I seem to be able to use my Apple calendar with the Echo device. Whereas with Google Home, at the time, I couldn't. I had to be able to connect it to an Android phone. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't integrate some of my calendar appointments and reminders and things like that with the Google Home. With Alexa, it appears that I can do that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that, because then I can just say, hey, Alexa, what's on my calendar for tomorrow? And she'll repeat it back to me.
That's good to know. I have not tried that with the Apple calendars yet.
Yeah, they're all getting in that productivity, Mike. They're all getting in that space. And
yeah, I didn't know
they're
that.
All starting to catch each other, you know, with those. I don't find the calendar. I just need to remember, like, that my route to work can make, it can be a 10 or 15 minutes difference if I know the which direction to go. And it's funny, the weak point is me asking, like, just saying, hey, what's my traffic look like, you know, to work? And it'll tell me the right route. There's a new Cortana bot in Skype, where you can just put what's my traffic to work or what's my traffic look like, and it will come back with a map and all that other cool stuff. I just have to remember to do it. So I'm trying, right. I'm kind of finding now the weak link on these assistants. For lights, they're dynamite, but the weak link is me remembering to ask the questions. Mike, go ahead. Right. I cut you off.
Well, no, that was my question for Aaron. Aaron, did you have any, I want to know, does Google Home integrate with their Chromecast at all to do any kind of like Google Home to TV interaction? Amazon's been focusing a lot on that lately with the Echo. You can pair one Echo with one Fire Stick or Fire TV, and it's been dynamite. So I want to know if Google has like kind of done any of that at all.
I want to say I think it does. I didn't test it with a Chromecast, so I can't say for sure. But I'm pretty sure you can ask it to cast onto the Google Chromecast. Right. I shouldn't actually say what I think because I'm not sure, but
yeah.
That would make sense.
Well,
go ahead, Mike. Sorry. So we ended up pairing. We have one Amazon. We have the full Echo in our living room, and we have that. We have a Fire Stick now in every TV. Fire Stick has taken over our house as the streaming device of choice, and in most of our rooms where we have one, we also have an Echo, and it's been awesome because you can pair one with one. Hannah's in the bedroom. She's going to bed. She can say, Alexa, open The Voice on Hulu, and all of a sudden our TV is playing her show on Hulu. Remote. Now, if they only had an IR blaster that could change the volume and power on and off the TV, that would like be game over. We'd be done because that's what our Xbox does. Like, we just need that to be done. But it's really changed the way we kind of started to drop off a little bit on new features on the Amazon Alexa. It was kind of like, okay, I know we can use it for lights. I know we can use it for this. And now that we have been able to repair it and use it on these Fire Stick, I mean, it's kind of been a kind of new use case for us, and it's one that is very much we use the word, you know, wife approved, especially pregnant wife, 9 month pregnant wife ready to give birth. She's like, if I can sit down and just ask Alexa to play something, it's awesome. So it's kind of been interesting. So I just want to know how Google's competing there, because it's been a big focus for Amazon.
So I'm just skimming Google's support page right now, and it looks like you can use Google Home with Chromecast.
Okay. Because that was my wonder. And I wonder if Google's also going to come out with, because Chromecast is kind of we call it a cast device, right? You take something from a phone, cast it up to the Google Cast. There's nothing really from Google that is at least correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I don't know about it, is like a stick, right? Or a a Google TV, where it's just a little tiny device that you plug in that doesn't need some secondary device like a phone. It just runs, where that's kind of the benefit.
It's mirroring, yeah.
Yeah, it's mirroring instead of whereas the Amazon Fire Stick or Fire TV is more a full-featured device that doesn't need a secondary input.
It's got some smarts and an OS kind of built into it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Jim, because you use Chromecast, don't you?
We do. We have a couple Chromecasts. Okay. Yeah, and we don't use them a lot, but they are handy. If they're really handy for this. Hey, watch this YouTube video, and you just cast it over to the TV, and boom, it's there. Right. I mean, the hard part with some of that is the inputs. Like, now I got to switch it over from the media center to the Chromecast. I got to find the remote. Where's that remote? You know, where did I put
that
remote?
That's why Amazon Fire Stick has solved it all for us, because they have a Plex app, which is our media center.
Right.
And Amazon Fire Stick is the same price as a Chromecast, $30-something. Full featured, though, has a remote, connects with your Echo. So if you don't want a remote, also has all the apps like Plex, if that's your media server, whatever it is. I mean, with the exception of our cable box, which is probably going to go away sometime soon. My air conditioning just went off. I realize how loud I'm talking when my heater goes off. With the exception of that, we don't switch inputs. It's really the Fire Stick, and that's about it. It has everything we need.
Aaron, you are in the very beginning of that journey where you're seeing the value of these, and now they interact with the lights and television. And, you know, that's why with that 4K, I was kind of wondering if it had Android TV built into it, because then there's some interaction with that, or you can send, you know, you can kind of, it becomes a device on the network. So it'll be interesting. We'll follow you a little bit on these devices. We actually have the three of them. So an Echo or an Amazon device, a Google device, and then of course, hey, Cortana, that we, you know, you can do it off any Windows device and be able to get that. Cortana is getting stronger. There's just going to be a day, right? We don't even know how to type. Today, we don't know how to write anymore because we type everything. Right. There'll be a day we don't even type because we say everything. Maybe a ways away, but pretty cool. Hey, before we're running out of time, before we go, though, you've got some smart luggage that I really want to talk about, because you always find these things. Like, you know, you find this really cool stuff, mattresses and some of that stuff, but you got some smart luggage. How much smarter can we make luggage? And talk a little bit about it. I know you're just starting to review it.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's two I'm reviewing right now. One is called Away, and the other is called Giro. So smart luggage basically is kind of an umbrella term for suitcases with some special features. They can include built-in charging. Some of these bags can weigh themselves. Some of them have built-in GPS tracking or come with Bluetooth tracking devices. So there's different features depending on which bag you get and, you know, and what other features and options you want. So the Away bag that I have right now, I just took it on a trip, just came back with it. It's more of a spinner style hard shell suitcase. It has the built-in charging in it. So I really like that, because when I travel, even if I'm traveling for pleasure, usually the airline flight is work time. So I use up my laptop, I use up my tablet, I use up my phone, and I need to plug them in. And sometimes there's not plugins on the plane. Sometimes there's not a place to hook up at the airport. So I really liked having the charging. The Giro bag is another smart bag. It too has built-in charging. The big difference on the Giro bag is it's a soft-sided bag made of ballistic nylon. So supposed to be pretty durable. I took that bag as well on this same trip and traveled around with it. But the wheels on the Giro are on the side of the bag. You're going to either have to picture this or look it up. They're kind of on the bottom, on the sides of the bag. And they're like big honking, like slice of bread size wheels with sort of big treads on them. And they're made to hit obstacles, hit cobblestone, go upstairs. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to drag a spinner bag up the stairs. You snap the wheels off. It's not a good situation. But with this one, you can sort of pull it up the stairs and up over things, and it rolls a lot easier. So those are some of the features that are around in luggage. Like I say, different types of luggage have different options, but those are sort of the two that I've got my hands on right now in a nutshell.
Mark,
brought those up. How is the, because I heard the Away bag is fantastic for like packing away gadgets, especially like the compartments are good for that. Did you try and pack away anything besides clothes? How are the compartments on that away bag?
On the inside of the bag, so the away is sort of a two half bag. So the zipper runs down the middle. You split it into two halves when it opens up.
Okay.
Is that like a clamshell, I guess we'd say? Yeah. So just sort of two big cavities on either side. And because it's a hard shell, there's no pockets. There's no extra compartments, I would say. It does come with a, I guess it's a compression square that lets you, you can sort of tighten the packing straps over it and sort of push your luggage down. It has a space in it for a tablet or a laptop. It's not really built for transporting tech. It's kind of just a nylon sleeve.
Oh, good to know. Okay.
The Giro, on the other hand, does have pockets that are more designed for tech, I would say. And again, that's just sort of one trip with these bags. But it's got pockets sort of on the back side where you can put your passport, you can put your phone, you can sort of put the stuff you need quick access to. And then on the front side, sort of the side that faces out, there's more of like a laptop pocket. It's also wired on the inside so that you can stash your gadgets in those pockets on the front and plug them in. So they're charging while they're in your bag, which is something you can't do with the away version.
That's a big deal. You put it up in the above you, you know, in the overhead during a flight to charge a laptop for the next flight or for the layover. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Nice.
It opens up a bit differently. So the other thing about the Giro bag in particular is it's sort of got a zip panel and it's one large cavity. So adapting to pack is a bit different. I've always had sort of a clamshell suitcase and, you know, you put clothes in one side and everything else in the other. With the Giro, it's a bit different because you're sort of having to pack twice as tall. So I find it's a bit more of a packing challenge for me, but that's probably just because that's not what I'm used to.
Aaron, I have some bad news. So Mark in the chat room sent me a link to an article. And it says America Airlines, Delta, and Alaska Airlines announced today, December 6th, I guess that was yesterday, that if a battery is built into the luggage, it cannot be and cannot be removed. You won't be able to take it on the aircraft.
So I read this exact same thing today and was ready. I was like, yeah, no, it's a legit concern, right? I'm pleased to say that at least the away bag and the Giro bag in particular, the batteries are both removable. Now, the thing about it is they're sort of built into the bags. The away bag in particular, it's under the lining. So you can unzip the lining and get at the battery. You need a screwdriver. They've included a screwdriver, which is super handy because they have sort of foreseen that this could become a problem. The only thing is that if you're stuck at security and some guy from the, is it the TSA in the States,
TSA,
is hassling you that you've got to take the battery out. Now you got to unpack your bag all over the security desk, unzip the lining, get out the screwdriver, take the battery off, put it in your carry-on or put it wherever they want it to go. So that's going to be a bit of a pain in the butt. The battery that comes with the Giro is a separate battery pack. It's actually not affixed to the suitcase. So there's sort of a place where you can stash it. It seems to me that's a little easier to get in and out if you ever did need to move it. Because the thing is, you can't pack those batteries. I think they're lithium ion. You can't pack them in checked baggage because there is that danger they'll explode, I guess.
Yeah, no, they will.
So,
and the great part about it, it's airline being banned now. So TSA doesn't care. So you're going to get through TSA, you're going to get up to an airline, and then you're just going to have to convince them that either it's not, or you can.
They'll check it. They'll scan those on the way through too before they go into the hold, and they'll pull them off if they find those things.
Hopefully you're storing it up above you.
I think it's going to just change these companies, which are relatively new in the last 3 years. We'll have to just change to create it easier to get the batteries out.
Well, and it makes sense after you saw the biggest fire, you know, the fires they had with that old Samsung phone. I mean, batteries are a big concern for them. So
it's legit.
I don't blame them for being concerned about it.
You know where this could go wrong, though, is I actually checked one of the smart bags coming back and it had the battery screwed into it. Had somebody at the airline or at, you know, security decided that was not cool, what would they have done? Would they have just hauled it off the plane and said, well, deal with it. And by that time, I'm halfway home. like it would be interesting to me how they would handle the situation. Would they take the battery out for me and then repack all my stuff and then push my bag onto the next flight and chuck the battery? Like, I don't know if they've got this stuff worked out, but it's a legitimate concern.
I bet you get paged. They would, you know, because they're loading, you're getting on the plane, they may page you and say, hey, this bag's going to have to, we're going to have to make a decision. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. This is fairly new, right? I mean, these kinds of problems are fairly new. You may even see a series of where the battery is a snap in piece, you know, that it goes in a sleeve and then snaps in and then you pull it off elegantly and it's wrapped in a piece of plastic, right? That then you can store in a bag and take with you on in your purse or put it in a briefcase that goes on the plane. They'll figure out. I think there's smart ways to do this. They'll figure it out. Don't you think?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
No, I think they will. Where there's a will, there's a way.
But they're expensive. So you're investing a lot of money in a bag that if it is, you know, banned at some point, at least the one, which one was it that had the screws that you could take out?
That's Away.
Away. Okay. So like, I mean, a lot, both of these, I mean, you have options at some point, but you have a big investment in luggage. Luggage already is a big investment.
I think Murphy's Law for me would be they'd scan my bag, they'd haul it off the plane, and I'd find out when I was waiting for it at the carousel on the other end that it's held up for security.
Exactly.
And they would probably have no good way to get it to me because they're not putting it on another flight.
None of your clothes. And, right. You know,
none of my gadgets. For
you, it's a real big deal.
What am I going to review? I came on vacation to do review items and set up tents.
Going to Macy's before you're going on air, shopping for an outfit.
Aaron, you got one of the best jobs in the world, and I think a lot of folks would love to do what you do, although there's a lot of effort, and they don't see all the behind-the-scenes testing, setup, unboxing, videoing, recording, editing, putting it out, writing the article. That's not the fun stuff. We kind of think tech bloggers and reviewers just goof around all day in their jammies and review these things, and it's a lot of work, so we appreciate my wife looked at me, and she's like, they don't? So Aaron, thanks for all the work that you do, in doing this, and thanks for coming on. It's always good to have you a part of, I should say, you mentioned, in the show notes, you mentioned the mobile VIP packs that we have talked about in the past.
Yes.
The contact that we have there in Canada still tweets me from time to time, see how things are going, which is pretty cool to get that kind of service. The bag looks as good. It's Targus, right? It's a Targus bag. It looks as good today as it did the day I bought it. I've carried that thing around. I've taken it on multiple flights to Washington, D.C. The sleeve, I'm in the habit now of just dropping it in there because that sleeve catches it on the way down. Yeah. The pocket on the bottom is perfect for chargers and tripods. And I did have one TSA as I was going through, and the security guy goes, all right, we got to check inside this bag. There's just too much crap in there. And they made me pull out. He's like, what are you doing? You know, it was tripods and holders and, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a podcaster. And I just,
we packed exactly the same then. Cause I just did that too.
So they made me, and then only in one place, you know, cause it is also zips to open flat, but a lot of airline or a lot of TSA checkpoints are still making me take the laptops out, even though that's available. I said, hey, can I unzip this? And they're like, oh yeah, that'd be great. But most of them are like, nope, take it out. So I'm still, it's, you know, it varies from airport to airport on what kind of, you know, do you have that bag where it'll zip open and one side is a laptop? Do you find in most places they'll let you do that, or do you have to take it out?
In most places in Canada, we aren't allowed to do that yet. At least anywhere I have flown, I would say in about the last year. It's not even an option. I know, like, if I come back from the States, sometimes it is, depending on the airport, but it's not, it hasn't really come up here. Anytime I've ever flown in the last year, it's been laptops out in their own bin. Don't put anything else near it. You know, they're very specific about
that. Isn't that crazy? It's like, it's treated like it's a biological,
like it's a threat.
I know. You're like, oh, it's just, they can't see through it. That's the problem, right? They just can't, they just can't see through it. So, very good. Mike, thanks for making it tonight. Good to have you on. It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Through the month of December, we'll see you a little bit more. And then
until that baby comes, we'll see.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get, well, when is the baby due? Number two?
Due the 27th. of December, but the first one, Emmett, came 3 weeks early. So we're like, well, I mean, it could be anytime now. We'll see.
Anytime. And they're letting you stay, KPMG's letting you stay around because of that, or?
Yeah, this is my last week traveling. I was in Kansas City earlier, but now I'm back and this is my last week traveling. So that's good. At least I'll be home for sure for it. So
cool. Well, it's good to have you back around so I can quick. Last night, the power went out and I was gracefully shutting everything down. We knew the power company, a tree had fallen and they needed to take the neighborhood down to get to the wires and do some other things. So they warned us. So I was waiting for it to go down and the power goes, it goes off. Now UPSs will hold everything on for probably 15 minutes. So I'm gracefully shutting everything down. And then my Surface is still working and I turn my phone on and I get the hotspot and I ping Uyghur. And so we're talking and he goes, "Hey, do you still want to chat?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm in the dark and you know, all I've got is this little flashlight. You know, I've got this, I think this is even a Windows 10 flashlight."
He said, "Well, I'm in the dark, but I could chat." I'm like, "Well, that sounds creepy, but I'm in, like, whatever."
Chat about what?
So we kind of chatted about cryptocurrency like this.
But I don't know, Jim, is it like, was I more accessible when I'm on the road and I'm literally sitting in a hotel room every night or now that I'm back home? We'll see.
It's either or. Some nights you're helping
podcast now because it's not a travel night. Yeah. Usually Thursday night is a travel night back home. So
yeah, well, it's good to have you back. Good to have you back. And so we chatted till the power came back on and then it was just a crap load of problems from 10 o'clock till 1 a.m. of me getting everything turned back on. So it was
just me watching him. You feel so helpless in that scenario. Like I could drive across town to go help him, but I'm like, you know, I'll pour another drink and I'll just sit here and talk to you while you struggle.
Aaron, he actually went and got some whiskey. Like, I did. He got a bottle of whiskey.
Sympathy like, whiskey.
Yeah. It's actually still over there. Cause that's what we did.
Oh, but I have 9 PCs down here. And so I was getting them all brought back up and for whatever reason, it was not working very well. So I was up very, very late last night and had thought maybe I'd gotten a serious virus on one of these PCs and they were acting kind of funny. And in the end, no. But I still don't know. Then about 1:15, everything just started working again. And you're like, oh, that's weird. So who knows? It was a late night last night. But Mike, thanks for being around to help me.
That's what I'm here for.
Aaron, hang tight real quick, if you can. A couple reminders for folks that are out there. Don't forget, we're in the middle of the December Ghost Browser Challenge. So if you haven't tried it yet, go out, ghostbrowser.com, give it a try, download it, try it. One of the cool things that I've really liked about, I've been doing it a week now, we had Kat and Larry on last week, is when you close Chrome and reopen it, it's fresh. Like it's brand new. Now I probably keep 15 or 20 tabs open at a time. Ghost Browser, close it, open it, boom, everything's still there. It's pretty cool that way. I like there's a little more management. And I know there's probably plugins in Chrome that do that, right? I know that's probably there, but Ghost Browser just does it on Mac.
Well, so I missed last week for anyone who also did this challenge. Is there like a special URL we need to use?
No,
or just give it a shot.
Give it a try. I tried
version 1 and I loved it. So I'm going to have to try version 2 again. Too.
V2 is out, and Larry's listening. Okay. If you tweet ghost_browser, @ghost_browser, if you tweet them, Larry will respond back to you. I mean, it's they're listening. They're getting feedback. It's really, really cool.
But it's just put it on the machine.
Aaron, I don't know. You know, Ghost Browser is just a version. It's Chromium, so it's just the Chrome browser, but skinned specifically for productivity. And so they try to do a lot of things to get the browser out of the way and get you more productive, which is pretty cool. We had those guys on last week, but it was really nice. Close the browser, reboot, come back, open it. All the tabs reopen where you were before. No questions asked.
I like that because I'm with you. I've always got like 20 tabs open, usually on 2 browsers at a time. So
yeah, and there's plugins, I'm sure, but I like the fact that that was weird. I like the fact that you can. It just does it, and so give it a try. Ghost Browser. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, ghost_browser. It's a great way to do it. Give it a challenge. Give us some feedback. We'd appreciate it. Don't forget, we mentioned early on, we got some really good pre-show stuff here. And you only get the pre-show and the post-show if you do the Patreon, if you subscribe on Patreon. $1. That's all it is. That's all it takes. We have bigger plans, but $1 will get you on Patreon. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/support. And then you can click on the Patreon link and get signed up. Well, appreciate it if you do. And then every week I'll send the pre and post show, both audio and video is available for you that way. Don't forget, if you've got feedback or you want to get somebody else on the program, if there's somebody we should interview that that you'd like to hear on there, send me an email, Jim underscore. That's my Gallup account, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Shoot me a note on Twitter. That's a good way to do it as well, @JayCollison. And then don't forget, the TheAverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And for more information, visit MapleGrovePartners.com. Plans, especially for podcasters or bloggers, $10 a month. Pretty reasonable. Of course, Christian makes sure everything is up to snuff. Mike, you got a little help from Christian on your PFSense router, like man-to-man, right? Boom. He just jumped in there.
He jumped in. He's like, hey, can you send me a TeamViewer password? I'm like, sure. Yeah. Jump right in.
Boom. He was in.
Sure enough, he's doing everything.
Guys, serious about it. I think we're going to record another Cyber Frontiers this weekend. So make sure you've resubscribed to that Cyber Frontiers channel if you let it go. Then don't forget, you can get the app, the mobile app. It's available. Thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that. It's available homegadgetgeeks.com. We had Amber on a couple weeks ago to get caught up with them, and lots of good stuff going on at LastPass. So do that as well. And if you need a bigger t-shirt, and who doesn't need a bigger t-shirt, Mike?
Apparently I do.
You got giant overnight. It's all that giant. You got swole.
It's the dad bod. Yeah. No, it's the dad bod. It's not getting swole. It's the dad bod.
The average guy.
Hardcore number two is coming along, and dad bod kicked in like double. And that's why I can't fit into my home
guy. Overnight dad. So you need a new one, extra large. Coming /shirt, and lots of options to get it done. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv live. Thanks to all you in the chat room. Appreciate it. Mark, Rennie, who else is out there? Don, Other Jim, Lopta, Drashna. Ken was out there a little bit earlier. Appreciate you guys coming out tonight. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.